Just one season, devastating drought can have lingering effects, sometimes even contributing to intergenerational transfer of poverty.
Hi, welcome to Vox Dev Talks. My name's Tim Phillips. For small farmers, extreme weather doesn't just ruin one crop. Right, deprive the farmer, obviously, of the income from it for 1 year. It means that the following year, of course, they won't have the income to invest in the next crop, and so it goes on. Better seeds and insurance against this sort of bad luck, well, they're partial solutions, but what if we combine the two? Well, that's what a multi-year trial in Tanzania and Mozambique has done. Paswell Marenya of the International Maize and Wheat Improvement Centre was one of the researchers, and he joins me now from Nairobi. Paswell, welcome to Vox Dev Talks. It sounds like you're exactly the right man for the job of talking about this.
Thank you, Tim. Happy to be here.
I mentioned it in the introduction, but tell me a little bit more. When there is a drought or a flood, what is the immediate impact for a small farmer and obviously for that farmer's family in a low-income country?
That's a really basic but very important question. Most of these families live at the margins, right? Economic margins. So they don't have much. They don't have financial savings. They don't have a lot of grain saved away because most years their yields are very low. They don't have enough to eat. If the yields decline very much, they are forced to sell their assets, skip meals, eat less, withhold children from school. They can't pay their school tuition where that's required because they don't have enough grain to sell anymore. Mm-hmm. And it creates a terrible vicious cycle that can take a couple of years to recover from. Just one season, devastating drought can have lingering effects, sometimes even contributing to intergenerational transfer of poverty. So it's a pretty serious issue.
Tell me a bit more about what happens the following year after something like this. How bad is that compared to the initial shock?
In our research, we found something quite interesting, I mean, from a scientific point of view, but distressing from a human point of view, in the sense that when you look at the results we found, drought shocks linger 1 to 2 years later. 1 year later, you find that there is still 86% of the yield shortfall due to drought are still there. 2 years down the road, it appears like the situation is worsening because the yield shock is still at about 125% of pre-drought shock period. Related to other non-drought shocks, because these things have ripple effects, so there's drought and then there's other things going on that are not quite drought itself. And these ones linger at the rate of 45% in the first year and 33% in the second year. So the yield shocks are still at 33% of what they were in the first year when the thing happened. So it has clear lingering effects that are devastating.
So clearly one solution is to use technology and seeds that would be drought or flood resistant. Those seeds exist. How well do they work in practice?
They work pretty well. Agricultural scientists, breeders have worked very much to develop new generation of hybrids. We're talking about maize here. So maize hybrids that are able to survive fairly damaging mid-season drought. So the maize plant, the maize crop is very sensitive to mid-season drought. So when the crop is setting seed and that's when the grain is forming, just a slight moisture shortage can be very devastating to a farmer, whether a commercial farmer, very bad, or just somebody trying to survive in the villages of Africa like our farmers here, it can be quite devastating, as we've said. Now, there are biological mechanisms you can select for in breeding, and the varieties that are selected in that way are able to survive mid-season droughts very well with yield advantage of as much as 40 to 50% when these droughts occur. Well, when there is adequate rainfall, that advantage may not be that visible. That advantage becomes very visible when that drought occurs. And all of a sudden, if you had those varieties, your yields are 40 to 50% higher than when you're not planting those drought-tolerant varieties.
Now, there's also index insurance. I have to admit, I seen the name, but I hadn't really thought about what that was. What does the index mean in this case? Why is it improvement over traditional insurance that farmers could take?
The index here means you use a parameter, if you like. I think in some places they call it parametric. So, for example, what this means is that instead of basing your payments of the losses on verified losses, the way you do with the conventional insurance, index insurance is based on an easy to measure index such as rainfall. So rainfall would be the index, or forage conditions is another, or average yields in an area is another. So what you do in this case, you check for rainfall in an area, forage conditions in a vegetation and all this, or yields. And if those conditions fall below a certain level, then you know that there is a correlation between these indices with something important to the farmer, such as yield, right? Or livestock mortality, for example. And given historical data, you can model that. And you know that if I track this index and it is below this particular threshold, then I know the farmers that are covered need to be paid out, because I know, given that correlation, that either their yields are going to suffer, their livestock are going to die, or etc., and they deserve a payout on the basis of that. So no need for high fixed cost verification of losses. That would mean that traditional insurance wouldn't work in many of these African settings.
I'm going to ask a naive question. Considering that the impacts of droughts and floods are so bad, why aren't all farmers buying insurance already?
That's not a naive question. It's a question that keeps researchers awake throughout the world. All of the people who work on this issue, I mean, have spent years and years, sometimes decades, thinking about this. But the point is, one, so the traditional insurance is out of question for the reasons we've said. The administrative costs and loss verification costs would be prohibitive, and therefore you wouldn't find a commercially viable traditional insurance in this environment. Yet, we also say that the index insurance should be able to take care of those costly administrative elements. But what happens is that there are a couple of things. One, farmers haven't quite cognitively appreciated the value of this insurance, number one. Number two, the farmers don't have that much to spare in order to pay for what, in comparative terms, is a low premium compared to traditional insurance. So even the lower premiums that you would charge for a commercially viable index insurance would still, for the most part, be above what most of these farmers would pay. So without what sometimes some researchers call smart subsidization, like subsidies initially promoting these as low premium, even free premium products for farmers to learn and what have you, it is very difficult to get them off the ground, or for insurance companies to find really commercially viable combinations to work with. But it's work in progress.
These are two great ideas and very useful individually. Your experiment is about what happens when you bundle them together and provide both of them to farmers. Why is that an additional benefit?
If you think of managing the risk, there are two things you can do when you're managing risk. Number one, you can mitigate that risk on your own. That's what the DT or drought tolerant maize does for you. You're doing risk mitigation by planting these improved varieties that way. The index insurance, like any insurance, allows you to transfer the risk. So that combination is very powerful. So the indices, one, are designed to complement the biological mitigation that you get from the drought tolerance varieties. So these help you cover moderate drought. But then index insurance kicks in when, say, extreme drought strikes, right? So the drought-tolerant gene protects you quite well for moderate mid-season droughts that are quite economically damaging. But when catastrophic drought strikes, they also fail, right? Because no plant can survive without water. The two key ideas help you to do that. So when there is extreme drought, the insurance kicks in. When there's moderate drought, the DD gene kicks in. What that does is it expands the range of protection. So the two technologies expand each other's benefits. The drought tolerance of the seeds reduces the cost of insurance, while the insurance reduces the risk of adopting the seeds themselves. When farmers are comfortable that they can get payouts when something catastrophic happens, they are more comfortable investing in seeds and fertilizers. That aspect allows them to invest with confidence. So you can see that complementarity is quite powerful. The risk mitigation for mid-season drought, perhaps even quite frequent, 20% of the time you get mid-season droughts. The DT gene, the drought-tolerant gene, will protect you from that. The more extreme events, the index insurance would kick in. And so if you combine the risk mitigation and the risk transfer, then the two should complement each other and even reduce the cost in the limit of providing the index insurance.
I mean, it's a great idea on paper, but you tried an experiment to see how well this works. How did you structure that experiment? And I note that you did it in two countries. Why did you have to do that?
So this was a randomized control trial. There are protocols, technical details that probably we don't have time to go into, and our audience may not be terribly interested in the nuts and bolts of it.
Yeah.
But what this means is that there's a procedure for determining the sample size, what you want to achieve, and then you get a control group that is similar to the treatment group. So in our case, the treatment groups were those farmers who had access to the drought tolerance variety, and another treatment group was drought tolerant variety plus insurance, and the control group did not have any. The two countries were chosen because we wanted to increase the probability of observing the anticipated shocks, number one. Number two, there's always the idea of external validity. So, you know, resources permitting, the wider the coverage of an experiment, the more applicable the results are in the real world. This actually achieved those two aims. One, we were able to observe the shocks we were looking for. Number two, doing it in two countries says, yeah, if it worked all the way in Mozambique and then all the way in Tanzania, that's pretty much a good, robust evidence base that gives us researchers the confidence that the results are defensible.
One unfortunate thing for running an experiment like this is that the weather has to cooperate and deliver enough adverse shocks to your farmers so that you have results. Well, did that happen?
For the experiment, it was fortuitous in that way, if I may use that word. For the people who were affected, it was terrible. So in Mozambique, just before the experiment started, there was a drought. In Tanzania, just after the experiment started, there was a drought. And overall, 5 to 12% of farmers, for example, in Mozambique, suffered severe yield losses. And mid-season droughts in our experimental areas affected 38 to 51% of the farmers in two seasons that we were doing this work. So yes, there were shocks during the 15, 16, 17 years in these two areas. And that sort of provided that natural treatment we were looking for. So unfortunate for the families who were affected, but quite a learning opportunity for the farmers who were treated with the drought-tolerant maize and insurance, because they were able to see how this would work in real life, because Mother Nature, should I say, cooperated with this experiment.
So, what was the outcome? Did this bundle prove effective at protecting the income of those farmers in the treatment group?
That's right, it did. The results speak to what we've come to call resilience two ways, or resilience plus. So the drought-tolerant maize variety themselves maintained yields during the mid-season droughts, and the in-kind insurance payout allowed farmers to recover following the drought. So what we saw in the experiment is that those who had only drought-tolerant maize, their yields were more than 80% compared to the control group post-shock. Mm-hmm. Those who had drought-tolerant maize plus insurance, their yields were almost 200% above control group post-shock.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the experimental result. And therefore, it did show clearly that both technologies work. Combining them work even better. Now, the control group had their yields decline from just under 1,000 kilograms per hectare to about 600 kilograms per hectare. And it didn't quite recover even in the second season. So that sort of thing is what gives us confidence that with a good way to put this together in a real life situation, there is potential here. There's potential to provide farmers with a great protection and confidence if they can have access to these two technologies.
There is potential. And also, as you mentioned, Mother Nature provided a learning experience for the farmers. Did it inspire them to use the insurance plus modified seeds after the experiment finished?
Yes, the Hollard Insurance Company plus Phoenix Seeds in Mozambique have had the opportunity post this experiment to continue with this. Mm-hmm. Our conversations with the seed companies in Tanzania show really strong interest. What we learn here is that what we do need is the insurance company and the seed companies to come together, perhaps with the regulators. And I think farmers will participate quite strongly, so long as I think the price point is okay. And they have had the opportunity to learn about the benefits of this, and they have built that trust in the product.
If your job was to make sure that all farmers used this bundle of technologies in the future, what would you do to make that happen?
I think one of the things that is being suggested is still work in progress, helping farmers to learn about the insurance. So the DT benefit comes when the drought hits you. You don't quite see it that much. I mean, 12% advantage during normal rain for DT maize and 40, 50% when the drought strikes. Now the benefit is all clear. The same with insurance. So you pay a premium, you see the benefit of that premium when you incur losses. If you don't, you don't see the benefit. In these rural settings with very low incomes, farmers can easily misunderstand the insurance, the concept, and what it means, EDC. So it requires quite a bit of learning. And learning subsidies, for example, lower cost insurance or some other ways of doing it that allows farmers to learn about the insurance, that would be number one. The other one that I like to talk about with my colleagues on this team is to support downstream piloting and testing for commercial entities such as seed companies and insurance. So, you know, insurance is a highly regulated sector. One of the ways as a policymaker, I would say, okay, please go ahead, do no harm, try things out there and see what works. So allowing that trial and error without restricting too much that entrepreneurial experimentation should be encouraged. Yes, I think those two comes to mind in terms of supporting the scaling or the entrenchment of these ideas into real commercial systems.
Well, let's hope the people who are making that happen are listening, because this is a very exciting opportunity. Paswell, thank you very much for talking about it today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the time, Tim. Thank you.
The paper is called Bundling Genetic and Financial Technologies for More Resilient and Productive Small-Scale Agriculture. There are many authors. I won't list them all now, but I suggest that you download the paper so you can see who they are. This has been a Vox Dev Talk. The best way to make sure you don't miss an episode is to subscribe. And when you do subscribe, you will get all of our past episodes on your phone to listen to. And if you do subscribe as well, please give us a review if you like what you hear. And remember, our past episodes, as well as articles about the papers we feature, are always at voxdev.org.